Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gonna take it. Got it! Boston wins!
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
All right, welcome into another episode of the Ryan and Goodman podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He is Bob Ryan. And Bob, we are at the one-year anniversary of sports shutting down and kind of the country shutting down at that point. And Rudy Gobert, a year ago today, was pulled off the court, tested positive, and the world as we knew it completely changed, certainly with regard to sports.
I saw that.
But everything. And I can't believe a year later, Bob, and we are where we are. It's amazing in a way.
I saw the video again of Rudy, and it was so playful. It wasn't intended to be malicious.
Right.
He was being a big, big friendly, big goofy, funny guy, right, and having some fun with the media, and the way it backfired on him, obviously, is, and I think he's done a lot to extricate himself. I saw him. Think he's just he's made amends properly, but I call it Rudy Gobert Day. The whole thing I associate shutting down with Rudy Gobert. The other thing, I happened to be watching. I was watching the game at was it Marquette and St. John's?
The big halftime.
Creighton? Whatever. I was watching. Yes, I can't remember who was playing. I was watching it, and when they pulled at the halftime, I said, "Well, that's it, folks. That's all, folks." Yeah. And that was, to me, the absolute beginning of everything. And I think Rudy Gobert followed after that. But anyway,
I was supposed to fly to New York that morning for the Big East tournament and be there. Wow. And I remember my wife saying, like, really? You're going to go to New York? And then I was from there. I was going to go, I think, to maybe Indy for the Big Ten or maybe. I was going to bounce around. And the first one was just going to New York and kind of seeing what was – And I was torn because even as that league tournament fell apart, it was like historic to be there. So I felt like, should I be there to be able to say I was there and be able to capture kind of what was going on? But you know what? I'm glad I didn't go, because ultimately it was one of those things where you never know, how many people got COVID from being in that arena that day. I had been on the road. Right before then, I'd gone all the way out for a St. Mary's game in California. Oh. And actually wasn't feeling well the days leading up to what was going to be Selection Sunday. So I'm glad I didn't go. But it was just crazy. That whole – it's like a whirlwind. And all the conference tournaments, I remember that morning when the Big East played, all the conference tournaments put out their own statements of we're – canceling our conference tournament. And then it was like, all right, are we going to have a Selection Sunday? And I still felt like even after we knew we weren't going to have a tournament, they should have at least had something to be able to honor those teams and those players who earned a spot in the NCAA tournament, but they didn't want to do that.
Yeah. I can't remember the chronology, but I remember being upset that the Ivies decided they were not going to have a tournament.
Oh yeah.
Because there had been some discussion about without fans,
yep.
I mean, I was in favor of doing it, but but that was our mindset a year ago. We couldn't fully grasp anything. And so.
They made the right call then, Bob, the Ivy,
Yeah, but
did they make the right call this year?
I know. That's what I've been thinking. They're the one team. They bailed 100%. And you know, it's been proven that everybody, not almost everybody else, pulled something off.
Yeah.
Even if you got a school like Iona that went 51 days in between games, and which, by the way, might be a bit of a pest.
Yes.
In the conference tournament.
Your boy Rick Pitino is two wins away.
He can come.
How about if Rick Pitino gets in the NCAA tournament somehow and John Calipari doesn't? Oh.
It could happen. Well, we'll have something to talk about next week if that's the case.
No question. No, absolutely insane. All right, the big story this week, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, involved one seldom used reserve big man center named Myers Leonard and his comments. And certainly anti-Semitic comments while playing a video game the other day. And he's under fire now, as many have been for using language that they shouldn't. I'm Jewish, and it was, you know, hurtful to Jewish people. But Bob, I don't say like Myers Leonard should never play basketball again or anything like that. He made a mistake. You know, he's not a kid, but he's still young and he can learn from this mistake. He apologized quickly, said he didn't know what he was saying.
Are you buying that?
Ultimately, I think, again, kind of like Greg McDermott at Creighton, who's much older, by the way, and made a mistake. If it's not a pattern, and to me, it's different. You're a coach or a player. It's a little bit different because you're a coach, you're a leader, you're trying to teach these guys. Myers Leonard's still, I think, you know, 28 years old, 27 years old, whatever he is.
Yeah, he's 29.
29, okay. So he's a little bit older. And I've known Myers a little bit since he was in AAU, playing with a team called the Mac Irvin Fire. You know, again, I would say as a Jewish person, I would certainly give him a second chance unless it comes out that he has just been over and over blatantly racist in other regards.
You wonder where this comes from, though. I don't buy the explanation. He didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
That word, you don't just conjure out of thin air those four letters in that sequence and put it together as somebody, if you haven't heard it before, and don't tell me that you don't know what you're doing. I don't buy that. So I find it highly disingenuous, and I'm not buying that at all. I tell you, I'm warning him that he's expendable. This isn't as if it were Jimmy Butler or right. One of the better players.
Good point.
He's expendable. I mean, he is in fact a guy who's, you know, it's a professional basketball player. He's a career backup. He's a journeyman of the type. I used to kiddingly categorize the type. It's gotten better over the years athletically, but I used to call them BWSs, big white stiffs. There are BWSs in the league and on the benches. And he is a 21st century version of that, you know, and that's who he is.
Who'd you name it after? I want to know who you named that after.
Paul McKeskey.
Tell me it's Greg Kite.
Paul McKeskey was probably exhibit A.
Oh, I just saw Paul McKeskey about a year and a half ago in Vegas.
He was exhibit A. Right? There were always big BWSs around. Greg Kite was a wonderful fellow, by the way. And
he was a BWS.
There's always a spot for a backup center, BWS.
Yeah.
And Myers Leonard's the 21st century version. And so he's expendable. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't. And what the team's going to do.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that, Bob. I didn't think about whether this could end his career because he's a guy that's on the back end of a bench that doesn't really give you – he gave you a little bit in the bubble last year.
Yeah, but you can live without Myers Leonard. The world 100%. Can go along in basketball without Myers Leonard. And consider the market.
Right.
South Florida, the owner happens to be Jewish. The clientele, is, you know, South Florida is a, you know, no haven for Jewish people. So this came out. This did not come out of nowhere. All right. So, and I would prefer an apology that would not be trying to con us into thinking he didn't know what it meant. I'm not.
I don't like the statement apologies. I want to see your face.
Yeah,
I'm Greg McDermott. At least he did both, right? Like, I want to see your face and be able to tell whether it looks like you said, disingenuous, or it looks real.
Yeah, but and of course the forum is so 21st century. You know, this it's an unimaginable one to countless people, myself included. You know, I have no conception of what exactly what this forum was, but obviously it's well known to younger younger people. That's fine. But anyway, it God, who needs this? You know, if I'm the Heat, I'm going, oh my God, do we need this? That's right. It. And that's the thing is, all right, we can find another Myers Leonard, and I mean, if we have to. So I don't know what the upshot's going to be and what Adam Silver is going to be or do or what any of it. What we need to see. Now, one thing that's been, you know, been raised in certain quarters is that this is the equivalent of the N-word. Is it rise to the level of N-word, you know, usage as using this K-word? I'm just throwing it out there, and that's being pondered, and that'll be part of the
know. No doubt. The Ryan and Goodman podcast brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college hoops, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Don't sit in the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, moving on to some of the trade rumors, some of the players that might get bought out. LaMarcus Aldridge, San Antonio. Popovich has said, we're going to move him. We're going to move him for him, for us. Makes sense. They got to go younger. He's 35 years old. He's had a really good career that's kind of gone under the radar a little bit. Seven-time All-Star, but he's played in Portland and San Antonio, two not exactly big media markets. You know, he's averaging about 14-5 this year. He was hurt. Are you taking on – are you trading a guy like that in the last year of his contract worth $24 million, or are you just waiting to see if you can get him as a buyout candidate?
Well, I don't know that – you know, I had to think that what teams would be the most logical fits. And I'm more inclined to think about the latter. That, although, you know, we're talking prorated at this point, but still, that's still a pretty good chunk of change for somebody, you know, with that production level at this point in his career. But he could be a difference maker in for, a team needing another rotation player. A big man, I'm trying to think of some examples, not to the extent that Rasheed Wallace was for the Pistons or Michael Thompson for the Lakers back in another generation. But that's the idea. I don't know if he could fulfill that kind of a role for somebody. If he could ever become, you know, not do 90% of those, what those guys were to those teams at those particular points in time. Yeah. It'd be worth it.
Yeah.
But you're right. You sure could have fooled me and many others. If he's that he's a seven-time All-Star.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah,
I mean, amazing.
I'm impressed. You know, well, okay.
He was always a quiet kid, quiet guy, and again, played in these teams where he was never really the best player.
Yeah.
And if he was, it was on a kind of a not mediocre team, but not a great team.
Yeah. Well, so that's an interesting one. Now, the other name this is really interesting and coming at a point in time, which is Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, huge. That's a big one. That's a big one to me. And, you know, Toronto's struggling. He's older. Do you take him? Right?
31?
Is that all Kyle Lowry is? He's got to be older than 31, right?
All right, well, let's do the work. Are you doing it?
Yeah, I got it. I'll tell you right now. I feel like he's got to be older than 31. 34. Well, 34.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I should have known better because he's a subject of one of my fun little anecdotal thing. You'll love this. Let's take a 20-second. I'm going to tell you this. Little story. It's the, it's the 05. Yeah. It's the 05 tournament when BC plays Villanova and they lose on an inbounds pass in overtime. They don't guard the inbounds. They had a 15-point lead in this game. Okay, in Minneapolis, it was, I believe. Yep. Well, anyway, doesn't matter where it was. So the next day, Ahmed Villanova's play. Oh, in the course of the game, Sean Williams. Remember Sean Williams?
Sure.
Should have been a great player, but was a knucklehead.
So talented.
Complete knucklehead. Might be the most talented big man ever walked through the doors at BC. And raw talent. And anyway, Sean Williams came from the other side of America to block a shot on Kyle Lowry. Yeah. I mean, he came across the lane. Incredible block. Okay. All right. So the next day at practice, Villanova's there and the guys are busting Kyle's balls. And somebody would get the ball and he'd move away about 25 feet. And he'd say, "Hey, Kyle, you think you could get the shot off against Williams now?" And they kept busting his balls. So I should have known that took place in 05 and that therefore he couldn't be 31 years old. That's a long-winded story, but I love that story.
Yeah, he's been like, he's perfect for a team that again is looking to maybe get a leader in there, tough, who's been there before, who's won it. You know, you got to find the right fit for Kyle Lowry. He's in the last year of his contract, so you know, I don't know how much left he's got in the tank at this point, but he can certainly help a team, you know, especially one who's in need of a point guard upgrade.
Well, because given the fact that I don't know, I'm just thinking, does the hometown team need him, or does Simmons take care of all their issues, or could he be an interesting adjunct in that regard?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, it's so hard with Ben because I feel like with Ben, you want the ball in his hands as much as possible.
Yeah, I guess. So then we start thinking, what does Milwaukee need him?
I mean, obviously, you got Drew Holiday there, but.
But I mean, one more piece of a puzzle.
Right. Agreed. No. And a lot of these teams now, listen, even Toronto has shown you can play two small point guards together and it works. It's not like the old days where you felt like you had one point guard on the floor and then you had a two guard, another wing, a four man. Now you just throw out your five best players and figure it out. Now, again, I never thought Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry could do it together at their height and win at the level they did. But, I definitely think there's a chance he could go somewhere that again, a team could kind of jump up to that next tier. Now, you know, tier-wise, we'll get into it now. Blake Griffin signed with the Nets. For nothing, for no money. I think it was just honestly Blake saying at this point, I want to win again. And I'll fill whatever role. And he's damaged goods. He's not what he used to be. He hasn't dunked all year. He's been hurt. Completely different player than again, he came into the NBA.
What he's been humble. And he wants a ring. And you know, certainly he doesn't, you know, he's cashed in very well. This is a tremendous opportunity for him. I talk to people, you know, he's not done, but he's, you know, don't, you know, but the thing is they're going, you know, they're not going to overexpose him. They're not going to overplay him. They're going to, you know, I would be really surprised and disappointed if he doesn't seize this opportunity with the right frame of mind. There's no reason why he should be overrating himself at this point in time. Based on his Detroit experience, I think it's a nice, very good pickup. I was interested for the Celtics.
Yeah,
I was interested in him. And
I mean, Blake. Listen, like we said, Blake's not what he used to be, but man, I'm still a Blake fan as a tough veteran who I think is pretty good in the locker room. I don't know for sure anymore, but like you said, he's probably been humbled. I was always a big Blake fan. You know, going back to AU days through college. I think ultimately to me, he can help Brooklyn. And you know, again, even if I saw Brian Windhorst said this, and I think it's true. He said, even if it's to win one playoff game, to help them win one playoff game, it's worth it.
I've lived through lots of, you know, many of those kind of scenarios over the years. Absolutely. That's a very worthy thought. And possibility.
All right, we got some breaking news that I'm going to break here in a second, Bob, which is going to be that Duke has a positive test. We're recording this at 10:15 in the morning. They play tonight in a huge game against Florida State.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying to confirm it right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm told.
I saw that the test. They speaking of COVID, and that the they said if you have five healthy players,
yes,
then you can have a team. So this isn't going to can't this you know they're going to.
Well, and the question is, yeah. You know, Duke with the win tonight, does that get them in the NCAA tournament? Now they're not going to potentially have a chance. I'm trying to find out right now.
Well, I would say that if they were to win, and then that's as far as they were gotten it, would that make them 13-12?
Yeah. Yeah, they'd be in. I think they'd find a way to get in if they beat.
Which I think would be outrageous, myself.
The new year is here and marks a fresh start for your small business. Whether you're shifting business hours or hiring more remote employees, one thing that remains unchanged is the importance of having the right people on your team. When your business is ready to make that next hire, LinkedIn Jobs can help by matching your role with qualified candidates so that you can find the right person and find them quickly. And to lend a helping hand, your first job post is free. LinkedIn is an active community of professionals with more than 722 million members worldwide. Getting started, easier than ever, with new features to help you find qualified candidates quickly. Post a job with targeted screening questions. LinkedIn will quickly get your role in front of more qualified candidates. Manage job posts and contact candidates from a single view on the familiar LinkedIn.com as functions are streamlined onto one simple screen. And now you can do this all from your mobile device, no matter where the day takes you. That's how LinkedIn Jobs can help you hire the right person faster. Visit LinkedIn.com/scribe to get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/scribe, and you'll get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, so let's go forward a little bit to college hoops.
Yes, sir.
You watched Gonzaga play BYU the other night.
Yes.
It didn't look great for 35 minutes, but man, did they turn it on. In particular, Jalen Suggs turned it on at the end, didn't he?
He sure did. He showed his, dare I say, pedigree. But, you know, when people have to understand, this is the most highly recruited player that they ever recruited, that they've ever brought in as a high school star. He's everybody very much for real. And what a weapon. Yes, a tremendous weapon. Yeah, that game was more about BYU, what their chance of, you know, doing something if they were to get in, because that first half shooting was ridiculous, you know, and you knew that couldn't continue. But I'll say what I liked about Jeff, the lead disappeared down to a tie game, and they went back up by 7. So Gonzaga had to win the game twice. And they did, of course. And you could see all the things that make Gonzaga were playing well. We're on display in that, you know, second half. That's for sure.
Just broke the news, Bob. Duke season's over. It's over. Positive test. They will not play in the ACC tournament tonight.
Wow.
And I don't know how they could play.
Yeah. Wow. Well. That puts them out of their misery in a sense, but because I just think if they had, they would have had to win the damn tournament, but they don't belong in. But
no,
this is going to shake things up everywhere, though. Just, you know, we're not, it's, what a reminder, we're far from out of the crisis, right. Far from it, as states open up and masks come off and, I wonder what I wonder how far this would resonate. We'll see. Interesting. Not just in sports, but I mean, everywhere.
Yeah, no, I mean, and this is the problem, right? This is what we figured probably would happen in one of these league tournaments. It really hasn't yet, but we're early on in these big tournaments. Because it happened at Duke, it's not as big of a factor, to be honest, because they weren't a team that maybe was even going to get in the NCAA tournament. But now, what if it happens to a team? Because you need 7, I think, negative tests before you get to Indy. Okay.
Okay.
You need 7 negative tests. Everybody. So, you know, if Gonzaga, that's what like Mark Few is worried about. They're in the WCC tournament in Vegas.
Oh.
Staying in a hotel with a casino who knows what you're going to pick up there. So I think a lot of these teams are trying to be as careful as they can not to put themselves at risk.
Wow. Well, that's big news. That's jarring news. It really is. And you could figure, you can imagine that you would like to think that Coach K would be a stickler for protocol as much as anyone could be. And he probably is. And yet this happens. So how, wow. Wow. Well, that is jarring news.
Yeah, I mean, it takes away a little bit of luster, you know.
It puts the rest, you know, the whole Duke conversational topic issue, you know, for sure. Right.
But well, the committee at least doesn't have to worry about making the decision now, Bob.
No, and the other one is will be made for them by Kentucky if Kentucky wins the SEC tournament.
And they can't
put them in. I mean, come on.
Right. No. Kentucky's out unless they win the SEC tournament. The one that was made a little bit easier, Michigan State beating Michigan, made it easier. Now they're in. And that's 23 straight NCAA tournament appearances for Tom Izzo. That's not bad, Bob. Last I checked, that's pretty impressive in East Lansing.
Was the first one the year they beat Princeton, which I saw in 90. Was that 98? See, Princeton was coming off beating UNLV and embarrassing them. Believe me, embarrassing them. And Michigan State beat them. With Billy Carmody, that wasn't Petey Carrillo, it was a Billy Carmody team. But anyway, it's amazing. It's a tremendous run. It's a tremendous run. And remember, you know, and I know, but I mean, people have to know that he did this when Michigan had owned the state.
Right.
You know, we're coming off the residue of the Fab Four and a Michigan team that won it in 89, and they were they dominated this, and Michigan State hadn't, you know, after Magic, it's like it never happened.
They were good, but they weren't at that level. And then he flipped it.
But
now it's kind of flipping back a little bit.
It's tremendous rivalry. I mean, you know, it's tremendous competition. So,
what's your biggest storyline? I know we've still got league tournaments to get through here, and Big East tournament's going to be very interesting. You know, Villanova just went, Bob, from a team that had a chance.
I feel bad.
Final Four
for the kids, the two guys in question, Gillespie.
Yeah, they got no shot without Gillespie. None.
No. By the way, I want to touch on these Hall of Fame nominations, by the way, which include Jay Wright, before we leave. But anyway, I just throwing that out there. My biggest storyline has got to be Gonzaga's quest to do what no one's done since 1976. And the pressure the pressure that will mount with each victory. And, you know, when you watch them the other night, you see one vulnerability. Obviously, they don't strike me as a very deep. They go, you know, once you get to Watson and coming off the bench after that wonderful first five, did I have much more beyond that? I don't know.
They don't. That's kind of the one issue for me with Gonzaga is they're not as deep as a Baylor, right? They're not as deep as maybe even a Michigan when they're full strength that go like a strong eight deep. Now, Gonzaga's five are better than anybody's five. We know that. Their top three are better than anybody's three. But ultimately, if you can get to their bench a little bit, if you can get them in foul trouble or something happens, everything kind of could change with them.
Yeah. So that's the number one storyline. The other one, obviously, to me, always not obviously. The other one for me is always, who's the outlier? I like to think that a typical Final Four composition of the last 30 years is three predictable teams and one, you know, mystery guest.
Yeah.
And you know, who's that mystery guest, you know, with the going to be? And, you know, will it be one of the little guys or will it be a team in the middle of a power conference that gets hot at the right time? And there's a lot of those possibilities, of course. Of course, the Big Ten, you wouldn't even say that there's so many in the Big Ten that they wouldn't qualify as a mystery guest. No,
yeah, I mean,
almost right down to Rutgers, you know, they wouldn't qualify as that mystery guest, that type at all, because of the Big Ten is so incredibly loaded this year. But that's an idea. Is there someone out there? That nature of a team.
You know who people aren't talking enough about is Texas. And I'm not like a huge, like Texas, you know, like Shaka guy. Texas is certainly a team that is super talented. They've kind of gotten their act back together here after a couple players went at it a little bit on the court, Andrew Jones and Courtney Ramey, about 3-4 weeks ago. So I think certainly they're a team that you should look at kind of coming down the stretch here because they've got experience. They've got bigs and Greg Brown and Kai Jones who are talented. They've got everything you need. Talent-wise, I'd say they're like a top five-ish team in the country.
Well, if they get to the Final Four, you know what everybody's going to say. It's the hair.
Yeah.
No doubt. Shaka went with the hair, and that unleashed everything, you know. So that'd be good. Now, there's so many, you know, teams like that. Even in their own conference, Texas Tech, that could be competition for Baylor. But there's so many teams. In the Big Ten alone, you know. Iowa, what's the latest, by the way? Is Wieskamp playing? Do you know? Is he hurt?
I don't know if he's going to play in the Big Ten tournament, but he's okay.
You know, that's a very good 1-2-3, you know, with Bohannon and of course, Luka Garza. Iowa's always a threat to me. But they need Wieskamp.
They have to have. I mean, Wieskamp's a pro. It's crazy to say it. Luka Garza is clearly their best player, but their best pro prospect is Joe Wieskamp. You know, he's a 3-and-D guy who can really shoot it. To me, he can defend. He's probably their best defender. So yeah, I mean, no question.
There we go. Well, I'm looking for. I love tournament week, and I've discovered some players already. You know, that I always like to find guys that, you know, you didn't know about them. You know, and they remind you of how many fun players are out there that they're never going to be pros.
Right.
They're never going to be even Europe, but they can play. You know, we found the little guard at Mount St. Mary's. Damian Chonqui. Oh boy, did he put on a show at the end of his game? You know?
No, it's so much fun. I mean, conference. What people don't realize this Saturday, there's like 10 teams that are going to punch their ticket. Now there's going to be a bunch of high major games going on too. Most of those high major games don't have that much relevance. They're about seeding, but they're going to be like literally. You go through it here, you know. Big Sky, Saturday, 6 o'clock at night. Big West Final, Saturday night. Conference USA, both MAX, the MEAC in the afternoon. Southland, SWAC, and the WAC. They're all
– wait a minute. Now the day starts. My calendar is circled.
Yeah.
11 a.m. Saturday.
Yep.
The America East Final.
Right. That's right.
UMass Lowell.
Hartford.
At Hartford.
Crazy.
And I'm rooting for UMass Lowell. They're carrying the torch for Greater Boston.
If it were at UMass Lowell, I would probably go. If we're out.
Oh, yeah.
I would probably go.
Yeah. That wouldn't be bad.
I got a few more days and I got to pack this weekend, Bob, for Indy.
Attaboy, that's great. No, I think it's
weird is what it is. It's very, very, very strange.
Well, under ordinary circumstances, you know, I would have been there. And you know how I feel about Indianapolis as a site. It should be the permanent site, you know. So but I'll be disappointed. I am disappointed that maybe next year, 2022. Anyway. So.
All right. Well, listen. Sorry for my Duke.
Well, that's a
shame. You threw me off a little bit during the pod, but we have breaking news during the pod. There's nothing wrong with that.
I know, and very disturbing news on several fronts, but
yeah, no doubt.
Folks,
we'll reconvene next week. We'll do it probably while I'm in Indy in the morning. We'll try to find a time next week. And I think it'll be more, listen, for the next few weeks, Bob, we will turn this more into a college basketball NCAA tournament podcast. We'll talk about some NBA stuff as well, but that's the beauty of both of us is whatever it is, basketball wise, whatever level, we'll talk about it. So thanks for joining us. The Ryan and Goodman podcast. We will see you next week.